This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Beloved brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. First of all, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having spared us on this beautiful day of Eid al-Adha. I want to say to you that this is the last of the 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. It is the last of the first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. And as we have indicated to you, these 10 days, first 10 days of month of Dhul-Hijjah, are the most important days in the calendar of the Islamic year. These are days in which the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, good deeds done in these days are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than any good deed done at any other time of the year. And in these last of the 10 days and the 3 days that's coming, the most important good deed that we can do as of the Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to make the udhiyah. And we heard in the khutbah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the udhiyah, about the qurban, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear in Surah Al-Hajj that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not concerned with the flesh of the animal, nor is Allah concerned with the blood of the animal. وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Allah says the blood and the meat of the animal will not reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah says, what will reach me is your taqwa. What will reach me is your commitment to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is your commitment to the sha'air of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the slaughtering of the animal is of the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the animals subservient to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those who honor my symbols, verily that is a sign of their love for me in their hearts. It's an expression. It symbolizes the love that we have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The animal is also important in that we should slaughter the best animals that we can afford. But once the animal is slaughtered, it is not meant for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is meant to be eaten by human beings, consumed by us. But it's our taqwa which reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I didn't have the chance on Friday to end Surah Al-Hajj, and I thought I will do it this morning. There is a verse 77 of Surah Al-Hajj, which is one of the last verses of Surah Al-Hajj, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, Surah Al-Hajj has two themes. Surah Al-Hajj deals with the theme of resurrection, and Surah Al-Hajj deals with the theme of Hajj. And we know that Hajj symbolizes resurrection. The symbolism of Hajj is not only that it symbolizes the equality between man and man, which Allah has established, but Hajj symbolizes the fact that we will rise on the day of judgment, on the last day, in the same attire that we wear when we stand on Arafah. So it symbolizes for us our final return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quraysh at the time had rejected this vital instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Part of the matrix of rules that Islam binds upon us, has made compulsory upon us to believe. And one of that is to believe in the resurrection. And there are many verses and ayat, signs not only in the Quran but also in the universe around us, which tells us that the cycle of life always is a cycle which starts with life and ends in death and again is revived. If you look at the earth, for example, it dies, plants die and they get revived. It's a cycle. And all of life is a cycle. And so our lives is a complete cycle from coming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming from Allah and going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the whole of Hajj deals and intertwines the resurrection with the Hajj. And if you look at Hajj properly, you will see when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the beginning, first verse of Surah Al-Hajj, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah. Allah says, oh, you people who believe, have the taqwa of Allah, have Allah consciousness. فَإِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ سَعَةِ لَشَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ Allah says, because the cataclysmic events that will take place on the last day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, are immense. They are immense. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives two examples. Three examples Allah gives. Allah says, on that day, every nursing mother, every mother feeding a child, will abandon the child. Every mother who is pregnant will abort the pregnancy. So severe will be the day of resurrection. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَ وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَ وَلَكِنْ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and on that day you will see men as if they are drunk, but they are not drunk. It is the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that puts them in that particular state. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished to impress this upon the Quraysh, but they rejected it. And the Quraysh also, in their haughtiness and pride, changed the rites of Hajj. For example, in the tawaf, they used to take off all their clothes and then make tawaf. And when the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to ask him about why do you do this? Why do you take your clothes off? Why do you walk naked around the Kaaba? They would respond to him and say, نَتَّبِعُ مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا They would say, we follow that which we found our forefathers following. They had twisted, distorted the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this case the Hajj. And the response was, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to them, إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اِتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَالرَّسُولُ When he said to them, when it was said to them, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they were told to follow Allah and His Prophet, what did they say? We follow our forefathers. And for 23 years, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to bring to them the message that this religion is not a religion of my forefathers and your forefathers. That this is a religion enshrined in revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so after 23 years, what did Allah do to those who distorted the faith of Islam? Allah Himself responds in the Quran. Allah says, this verse was revealed in Surah Al-Hajj. Surah Al-Hajj is one of the last surahs that was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجَسٌ Allah says to the Muslimin of Makkah and to us, Allah says, oh, you people who believe, from today, after they've distorted my faith and my Hajj, I say to you, says Allah, that the Quraysh, the disbelievers, those who distort the deen of Allah, they are najis. They might say, wow, I'm not saying so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, najasun. What does it mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes further and says, let them not, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, come near the house. Let them not come near my house, because they are the distorters of my faith. They have put the actions and practices of their forefathers above my faith. And Allah says, وَلَوْ كَانَ أَبَاهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْدَدُونَ. Allah says, they always talk about their forefathers despite the fact that their forefathers, لَا يَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا, knew nothing. وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ, and were not guided. By what? Not guided by revelation and by the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Hajj deals with following the commandments of Allah. And we know this. When we go there, what do? The Hajj is the greatest test of following the commandments of Allah. First, you have to put in 2 pieces of white cloth. Then you have to go and stand in the sun. Place called Arafah. And it's amazing how now Arafah suddenly, for some people, was changed. In Cape Town, we hear on the radios that we should have fasted yesterday. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. How is it possible that we can be so blind not to see that Arafah was not yesterday, Arafah was on Monday. Those who fasted yesterday, was haram to fast on Eid. Yesterday was Eid in Mecca. And I was saying to somebody yesterday, I said, you know, why is it that Eid al-Fitr is immediately after we finish the fast? Immediately when you finish fast, next day, first of Shawwal, is Eid. But not so Eid al-Adha. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make Eid on the first of Dhul Hijjah? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make Eid on the 10th day of Dhul Hijjah? My opinion, which is only my own opinion, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Arafah is such an important day, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give the Muslims the opportunity and the chance to be able to broadcast this day throughout the world. When the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, when is Arafah? He did not say Arafah was on the 9th day of the Hijjah, no. He said Arafah is when the people, Yawma Arrafa an-Nas, the day the people gather on Arafah, that is the day of Arafah. Indisputable. How can you deny that people gather on Arafah? It's not Arafah. It's Arafah. It's Arafah for everybody. Abdullah ibn Abbas, we read that Abdullah ibn Abbas, Arafah was so important to them. Of course, they were in Medina, but 10 days was enough for them to know when Arafah was. The news came by camel ride. It was enough time to ride with the camel from Makkah to Medina. And Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala, the cousin of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to go in the desert on the day of Eid al-Adha, on the day of Arafah, and make takbir and tahleel to simulate the conditions of Arafah so he could get the feeling of Arafah. This is Sahaba of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I think it is important for us to recognize that we live in a global village. And when we need to recognize that these days are not in our hands. The day of Arafah is determined not by us, but by the people who are in charge of that part of the world, who decide and determine when is the day of Arafah. It is also unfortunate that when we ask people, why do we not have Eid the day after Arafah? Not with Makkah, no. The day after Arafah, then the answer sometimes is that we can't trust the Saudis. They don't go and see the moon. Their political agendas, they calculate, they thumbsuck, they do all kinds of strange things, so we can't follow the Saudis. Don't follow the Saudis. Yet it is ironic, those same people, when they go for Hajj, when do they go to Arafah? They go to Arafah the day determined by those very same people. And they will phone from Arafah to our radio stations and cry on the phone on that day of Arafah, which they last year said, oh, the Saudis are Leviti Vatlamaki. We can't follow them. And now? What about your Hajj? Why is it when you're there, it's fine, but when you're here, it's not fine? Oh, it's fine here if we agree, yeah, if we see the boon at the same time. Oh, then it's fine, then it's all right. Then there's nothing wrong with the Saudis. No, then the Saudis are fine. But the minute we have a discrepancy of we seeing the moon and they not seeing the moon, ever it may be, we come up, this is not how it's supposed to be. This is hypocrisy. Why? When it suits us, it suits us. And when it doesn't suit us, then it doesn't suit us. And it's by time that the powers that be should decide who decides. That is not for them to decide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet had decided. In this case, we follow. We follow. We have to follow. This determination is not our determination. Coming back to Suratul Hajj. Verse 77 of Suratul Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اركعوا واسجدوا واعبدوا ربكم وافعلوا الخير لعلكم تفلحون. This verse is a verse in which there is a sajda. Meaning that when you read this verse, then you must make a sajda. This is the last sajida revealed in the Quran, in this verse. The first sajida which was revealed in the Quran is a sajida that we find where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kalla la tuti'uhu wasjud waqtari. That verse was revealed in the cave, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only you make sujood, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wasjud means one person. Ya Allah says, Wasjudu in this verse. So here the Quran has come full circle. The first verse revealed was a sajida directed only to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The last sajida in Suratul Hajj, so the important Suratul Hajj is, and by the way, it is only surah, the Quran, that has been named after a rukun. There is no surah which is Suratul Siyam, or Suratul Zakah, or Suratul Iman. It's only one surah which is named after a rukun, Suratul Hajj. So it shows the importance of Hajj in the life of this ummah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so you can see full circle. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the sajida to everybody. So Islam begins with sujood and ends with sujood. And therefore the greatest insult that we can make to Allah is not to make sujood. And that's why Iblis became Iblis, because he didn't want to make sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu irka'u wasjudu wa'budu rabbakum waf'alul khayra la'allahu. Listen to the verse, my dear brothers. What does Allah say? Allah says, oh, you people who believe, make ruku', make sujood, worship Allah. So all three words talk about the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adds something to this verse which completes your ibadah to Allah. Irka'u means you go halfway down, you make ruku'. Sujood means you are in complete submission to Allah. A'budu rabbakum means that everything you do, you must treat as an ibadah. If you sit in the masjid now, you should say to yourself, Nawaitu sunnat al-i'tikaf. I am making sunnah i'tikaf while I'm sitting in the masjid, also in ibadah. I'm listening to the khatib speaking about the Quran, and I'm learning from him, and that is the greatest ibadah. That is greater than salatu al-eid and the takbir and the khutbah and being in the masjid. Why? Because learning is fard and eid salah is sunnah. Priorities, you see. So listening to the khutbah and listening to the message of the Quran is your fault, is what you have to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, not enough. If you make all the sujood and all the ruku's and you turn every deed of yours into an ibadah, it doesn't complete you as a Muslim. There's something missing. What is missing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفْعَلُوا الْخَيْرَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And do good so that you may be successful. So it is not enough just to make ruku and sujood and ibadah. No. You must be involved in the doing, in adding value to your life, to the life of your children and your family, to the life of your community, the life of your nation, the life of the world. Then you will be successful, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Suratul Mulk, we read it all the time, Tabaraka alladhi biyadihi al-mulk wa huwa ala kulli shay'in. Alladhi khalaqa al-mauta wal hayata liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsan. MashaAllah. Look how beautiful Allah says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, glory be to Allah. Tabaraka alladhi. In whose hands is the dominion of the heavens and the earth. Subhanallah. Can you imagine that everything in the universe created by Allah is in the hands of Allah? Allah can turn it like that. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And Allah is over all things powerful. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ. He who created death and life. Why did Allah create death and life? Allah gives the answer. Allah says, لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. To see whom of you are the best in good deeds. Again, good deeds. So Allah, we need, this is why the world needs Islam. What we need today is people who can do good to the world. We need people who can look after the environment, who can see to the poor and the needy, who can fight injustice and oppression. These are the qualities that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam instilled in the Sahaba. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Not perennial goodness, goodness that will last from now until the year after. The goodness of the kuffar is only from here till they die. And Allah gives them the rewards in the dunya. But for us who do good, our rewards inshallah will go into the akhirah. The twin themes of Surah Al-Hajj, of resurrection and ibadah. Hajj is an ibadah. And coming back, as I said, when you go for Hajj, what do? You dress in two pieces of cloth, you take small pebbles, you throw a big stone with small stones. Then you walk around another stone, the Kaaba. And you kiss a stone. And all this is ibadah. But why must you do this? Why must you throw small stones to a big stone? Why must you kiss a stone? Why must you walk around a stone? La ilaha illallah. Because it is the final test of your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you love someone, and the theme of love is a theme which runs right through the history from Adam until the end of time. People kill for love, people do anything. And the test of love is to do something for the one that you love that is ridiculous and impossible. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests our love for Him like He tested the love of Ibrahim. How did He test the love of Ibrahim? He said, Ibrahim, you take the knife and you cut your child's neck. You slaughter Ismail. What was it? It was a test of love. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests our love. He says, will you do this for me if I ask you to do it? And what do? We say, Labbaik, Ya Allah. Labbaik. Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika. We say, Ya Allah, we love you so much. Whatever you ask us to do, we will do. You created us, you nourish us, you sustain us. You forgive our sins. You will make us enter Jannah, inshaAllah. And so what you command, not what my father commands, and my grandfather commands, and my brother commands. No, that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands. And so the theme is ibadah, worship. And I want to tell you something. And verse in Surah Al-Hajj. Why do we slaughter an animal? Not because my father did it. No. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands. Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. Because the companions did it. And I always say to people, you know, our life becomes very simple, very easy, very straightforward when we do that which Muhammad did. And our lives become very complicated when we want to do what we want to do. The Quraysh twisted the Hajj, and what did Allah say about them eventually? They distorted the Sunnah of Muhammad. They distorted the Quran. What did Allah say? إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ najas. Allah banned them from the house of Allah. Allah banned them. They made Hajj, but they distorted the Hajj. And as I said on Friday, when I say to you again, and we, what do we do? What have we done in the past? We also distort the laws of Hajj. What do? Before we leave, we visit the Kramats. We go greet the Kramats. From where is this? Where did this come from? This part of your deen, part of the Sunnah, were they greater people than the martyrs of Uhud? They're all in the Jannah. Were they greater people than the martyrs of Badr? All in the Jannah. Did the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to the Sahaba, oh my Sahaba, before you go to Makkah first, go to Uhud and Badr? Did he do that? But what do? We complicate our lives. We say, no, but our forefathers, you see. نَتَّبِعُ مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْ آبَاءَنَا. We do, as Allah says in the Quran, what we found our forefathers doing. And you know, the ironic part of it is, as I said on Friday, if you ask anybody, what is the name And I want you to understand me very clearly. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give all those who have passed away Jannah. Whether they buried on a hill, whether they buried in Dona Ukhta, whether they buried in Constantia, wherever they may be buried, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make them of the people of Jannah. We are commanded by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to speak good of the dead, only good of the dead. No matter who it is, no matter how bad the person was, no matter how good the person was, oh Mr. Khase, Muni Slech Prathani Dwayani. If you ask 99% of the Muslims of Cape Town the name of the person buried at Camps Bay, they will not be able to tell you. If I ask you, well, you're a young man, you don't know. Maybe I should ask one of the older people. If I should ask you who's buried on Roman Island, how many of you will put up your hands? Come. Who's the man buried in Constantia? Put up your hands. But what do we say? Oh, these people are great. La ilaha. Imagine a visitor comes in, he says, and you take him there and he says, tell me, what is the name of this person? You say, you know. But he will say, but you people make such an issue of, look what you're doing. Subhanallah, you don't even know the names of the people. Why? Because of نَتَّبِعُ مَا عَلَيْنَا مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ أَبْ. We found our forefathers doing it. And we just follow blindly. Blind following. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? I have sent the Qur'an لِيُخْرِجَنَا مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Allah said, send the Qur'an to take us from darkness into light, not from light into darkness. When we hear the truth, even though we may have done it, even though we may have followed it, even though we may have followed our forefathers, but when we hear the truth, what must we do? What must we do? What is our responsibility and our duty? To say no, but we will just carry on. Then what will Allah do to us? Allah will condemn us. Like condemn the Quraysh. Listen to the Quran. Don't listen to me. Listen to the Quran. Allah says, Allah talks about those who ask other than Allah, who revere other than Allah, who give qualities that Allah only must have to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, people say, there are some people who don't die. Which is a quality which only Allah has. Only Allah is Hay alladhi la yamut. Only Allah is alive and will never die. So if you say there's somebody else also that doesn't die, what are you saying? You're saying there's another Allah. La hawla, and that is shirk. How can you say that there are others who only Allah lives forever? Everybody else. Kullu nafsin da'iqatul maut. Every soul shall taste death. Allah says to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, innaka mayyitun wa innahu mayyitun. You will be a mayyit and they will be all mayyits. I'm not saying so. Not my words, my brothers. This is Allah's words. Listen to what Allah says about those whom we call upon besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen to this beautiful analogy. Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas. Allah says, humankind. Allah addresses all of humanity. The whole of humanity. Christians, Jews and Muslims. Buddhists and atheists. Allah addresses him. What does Allah say? Duriba mathalan. Allah says, listen carefully to this example. I'm not saying listen to me. No. Allah says, listen carefully to this example, and I want you to listen to this example. And I want you never forget this example. And I want you to carry this example to those that you love. Because it is in the Quran, it comes from Allah, Surah Al-Hajj, verse 73. What does Allah say? Why does Allah say, listen carefully to this example? Allah says, إِنَّ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ Allah says, listen. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ Allah says, those whom you call on besides Allah, those that you think can help you besides Allah, what does Allah say? لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا Allah says, listen. Allah says, they can't even create a fly. Allah says, وَلَوْ اِجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ Even if all of them should come together and pool their sciences and all their expertise and all their whatever elevations they may have in your eyes, Allah says, لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا They will not be able to create a fly. لا إله إلا الله. Then Allah says, وَإِنْ يَسْلُبُهُمْ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا Then Allah says, and if the fly should take something away from them, لا يَسْتَنْقِذُوهُ مِنْ They will not be able to recover it from the fly. Think. Allah wants us to what? Allah wants us to think. Allah says, I've sent this Quran for you to think. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَفَكَّرُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَدَبَّرُونَ Allah says, I'm sending this so you may think. How can you put your trust and faith and believe and ask other than Allah when these people, whoever they may be, can't even create a fly. And if the fly should take something from them, they will not be able to recover it. Then Allah says, ضَعْفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ Allah says, those whose help you seek, those who seek their help, says Allah, and the one from whom you seek help, says Allah, are equally hopeless and powerless. إِلَّا اللَّهِ That's why we say, what do we say? We say, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. I say that? No, I'm not saying that. Allah says, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. There is no might and no power except the might and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the Hajj, the Siyam, Iman, the zakah, all these things symbolizes our connection with Allah and our ittiba', following of the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is our deen. That is our faith. That is who we are. That identifies us. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give, inshallah, that we on this auspicious occasion, this great day, that we recommit to Allah. That we return to Allah. That we make Allah the central pillar in our lives. Why must we do that? Because who will we go back to? Am I going to go back to my father? Or my grandfather? Or my teacher? Or my ustaz? No. I'm going to go back where? I am going to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is a very jealous Allah. He doesn't like competition. And he says very clearly that shirk is something he will never forgive. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah says he will forgive all sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. The person who goes near to shirk, Jannah will be haram for him. Or for her. But the greatest sinner, who says only La ilaha illallah and turns away from all the shirk that we see around us, he will certainly enter paradise. Even if he has to wait a while. I'm not saying this, my dear brothers. Not from me. I'm only a voice box. I only say what is in the Quran. And what is in the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore I always tell my students, if I say anything which is against the Sunnah, or something which is not found in the Quran, don't follow me, don't. Then you can call me crazy, mad, stupid. Call me what you want. But when I tell you this is what the Quran says, and I tell you this is what Muhammad did, then you should say no. We have to follow that. Our salvation lies in that. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give, inshallah, that we recommit. May Allah give you a good day today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give, inshallah, that we get inspired by the sha'air, the symbols which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give, we have today and another 3 days to make qurban. May Allah give that in these days that we spend our money in that way. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Man wajada sa'atan ay yudahi wa lam yudahi fala yahdur musallana. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person who can afford to make qurban and he doesn't make qurban should not be present at the place where we perform our Eid Salah. Only those who can afford it. If you can't afford it, no problem. No problem. And remember, you can slaughter one animal for your household. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi had slaughtered one animal for his household. And then Nabi Sallallahu slaughtered another animal for us. He said, this is for my household, this is for my ummah. Subhanallah. He lived 1500 years ago and he thought about us. We live now and we don't even think about ourselves. That is why there is one hadith in Bukhari that is given. There are only a few hadith that has this name. It's called Aziz. If a hadith is called Aziz, it is a hadith which is pure, agreed upon, and it is the highest, purest form of hadith. I mean, all the rules are satisfied. All the conditions are satisfied. Nabi Sallallahu said, La yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna habba ilayhi min walidihi wa waladihi wa nasi ajma'in. Nabi Sallallahu said, none of you believe. None of you believes until he loves me more than he loves his parents, his children, and all of humanity. And he came to tell us to love Allah. So we should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala We should love the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam by following his sunnah. And then, after that, we should love everybody else. May Allah bless you and keep you and guide you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give, inshallah, that He forgives our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive the sins of our parents. May Allah guide us. May Allah forgive the mistakes that we made. May Allah forgive the mistakes that our parents made. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give sakina, as I said in the dua. May Allah put tranquility in the hearts of the ummah of Islam, wherever they may be, whether it's in Egypt, or in Syria, or in Afghanistan, or in Kashmir, or in Myanmar. Look at it. And it was last night when I wrote this khutbah, I said to myself, subhanallah, there was a time when we only said, Philistine. Allahumma unsur al-mujahideen fi Philistine. Today, if I have to name all, it'll take me 5 minutes. Philistine and Misr and Sham and Afghanistan and Iraq and la ilaha illallah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite the obstacles that we face, we have a mission to fulfill. And that mission is to bring all of humanity to the worship of the one true God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.